We have a lot of ground to cover today with our guest. He's in his early 20s and is already a business founder, host, and investor, among many other things. Buster Scher, welcome, Buster.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start off with like putting together like the greatest basketball debate of all times: Jordan versus LeBron. Who do you got?
You know, this is a very complicated subject, but there is no LeBron without Jordan, and there's no Jordan without, you know, the Wilts and Kareems and Wests and, you know, all the iconic players that came before him. So it's just sort of even if someone's opinion was that LeBron was better than Jordan, which mine isn't, if you just play him one-on-one, but or who would I rather have on my team? It's just a big game of leapfrog. And it's the progression of the NBA. The NBA is, you know, probably $100 billion plus organization now, sum of parts. And, you know, that's just going to keep growing. And that's a thanks to all those guys mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, do you think that Jordan wins one-on-one? Or are you kind of talking about, like, just skills as a team member? Like, as, like
other team? If I'm building a team, who do I want on my team? I want Michael Jordan.
Got it. Right.
That's how I think about it, at least. Yeah. LeBron's bigger, so it wouldn't be a totally fair one-on-one. Yeah. And, you know, they came up in different eras of the game. You know, Jordan really didn't shoot threes, which is crazy to think about. But, yeah, it's just a different game.
All right. Well, we're staying on this, on the Jordan thing here. I saw in a recent Instagram post of you and that you put up, and you said if you had to go back to one sporting event and relive it, it'd be Jordan's last shot as a Bull. You know, was that kind of the inspiration why you fell in love with basketball?
No, it's actually a funny story. So I was a baseball fan first, and I wanted to create, obviously like everyone, they want to be a pro athlete. And only some very few are able to do that. So the rest of us have to find other avenues into it. And at first I wanted to create baseball media companies, but the MLB was so strict on content rules and regulations and copyright, and the NBA, you know, perspective, especially, late David Stern commissioner era, early Adam Silver era, was if the content doesn't directly conflict with live TV, you're boosting the value of everything. They're a fan of creators in the space, whereas the MLB wasn't. So that made my decision very clear, and I'm glad that I paid close attention to that sort of stuff early on, and so that's what led me further into basketball. But I've always been a, you know, big Knicks and Yankees fan, despite, you know, the lack of success.
Yeah, there you go. At least you didn't pick football, because I think trying to get one of those, like getting like any content there is like, you know, they're starting to get better, but made it just next to impossible. So I think you picked the right sport to go in. I always say, like, even just like, you know, you see golf now paying some of the players to like build their own social and stuff like that. It's just like, I don't understand why not every league just goes all in on it if you're really trying to grow it. So that's my rant there.
Totally. Couldn't agree more. And one more thing I'll say is there's something that's special about basketball, and it's why NBA players have so many more followers than, you know, top athletes in other leagues. And it's because I think in part the close-ups on camera, you know, no helmets, not wearing anything. Yeah. It's the closest as a fan you can get to the sport. There's no closer seat to a sport than courtside in basketball. And so you have all these stars like literally right next to them, the interactions, the players, close-ups at the free throw line. You know, it's just a totally different thing. You know, also how tied in basketball is in pop culture in general. But yeah, it's pretty cool to see the continued growth. And I really think it, you know, 10x's globally from here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So this is going to be a long dive here, but let's dive into all you have going on. Just a few highlights. This is just a few of many, but you're the host of the Buster Show, founder of Hoops Nation, which has, last I saw, 1.1 million followers on Instagram, TikTok, 4.4 million followers, and a near unbelievable 336 million likes for viral content. Started Hoops Nation in high school, and now you're known as the social media phenom and influencer. So, like, that was high level. Give us a lay of your land and all you have going on here so everybody kind of understands.
Sure. Yeah, so Hoops Nation. I think some of those numbers I probably should update. I think
Oh, okay.
we're at like 6 on TikTok, and but so I started Hoops Nation. Still own that property. Never took any investment for any of my projects, and built that up. Zeroed, I think, 8 million across social now, and that the goal was to be what I envisioned a ideal basketball outlet for youth. So heavy focus on memes, heavy focused on algorithmically favorable content, heavy focus on debates and things like that. And following the early ESPN model, which was whenever you go onto the page, I want there to be the biggest stars that you recognize, no matter when you go on. And I think that it was a very bold early decision by ESPN, but I've tried to think about Hoops Nation in the same way in regards to content. So we have that. I have my personal brand, which is podcasts where I interview athletes, entrepreneurs, all sorts of people similar to yourself, and then got the Crew League, which is a basketball show where rappers and their entourages play against other rappers and their entourages. We've done 5 seasons. Diddy's the executive producer. Chris Brown has been in it. Drake came and watched. NLE Choppa, Jack Harlow was a co-host. Aiden Ross was a co-host. It's been a lot of fun, and I've done play by
Awesome.
play on every single episode, which is crazy.
By
In
the way,
high
not to
school,
cut you off there, but any advice for Tom, getting into play by play for Fox or not, more of the color side of things? Like, is that hard? Or does that come natural to you?
Tom doesn't need any advice.
Right.
Tom, he comes from a place of experience, which is the most valuable thing in
That's true.
broadcasting because so few people have it. And so few people have it. Obviously,
Yeah.
nobody has it at his level of success.
For sure.
So it's just a, experience is the best thing in broadcasting. And it's perfect for a color broadcaster because, that's really their job.
Yeah.
To add that experience full color. And play by play is, somewhat, I don't want to say robotic, but it's definitely a formula.
Yeah.
It's muscle memory. You don't even think about it when you're doing it. But so we've got that, and then we've had an agency. So we do social and digital for a handful of companies in the collectible space, in the sports space, in the product space, in the sneaker space, and we're expanding to some other areas. But we do all social and digital management, distribution, and original content creation for those companies, and that's been really fun. And then we also run campaigns for bigger companies like Amazon when they have documentaries and movies that they're releasing. They'll often reach out to us because we have not only the Hoops Nation platforms, but we have about 100 other platforms in the sports niche specifically, with hundreds of millions of followers across all of them, that we'll use as distribution channels for whatever they're trying to promote. And then on the collectible side, very heavy personally content-wise, it's what a lot of my personal brand is. And that is, some of the stuff I'm collecting and just showing off. I personally collect Abraham Lincoln and George Washington documents from their presidency. I collect the original artwork for SpongeBob. The first season was hand painted, so I have a lot of the hand painted backgrounds. That's a long play I grew up watching. I'm 23, came out in 99. Historically, in collectibles, from an investment perspective, when people reach their financial maturity, 40 to 60, they go back and buy the stuff that was
Right.
nostalgic to them as kids. So if you're able to predict what those things will be, people have done quite well historically doing that, with
Right.
Disney, with Studio Ghibli, with Pokemon, with a lot of other franchises that are a little bit older, Hello Kitty, Star Wars, some of those. And so that's a big passion of mine. And then we're constantly launching new projects. Like, we just launched the Hobby Letter, which is a newsletter, first one
Yep.
we've ever launched. And that is a place where people can find new hobbies. So every week it's a total breakdown of a completely different hobby, and then where to learn more about that hobby. Because, I am of the standpoint that everything we do is a mixture of a few hobbies if done right, right? Like, you've got your work, which should be a hobby. You've got your exercise, fitness, and health, which should be a hobby. You've got your creativity, which should probably be a hobby of yours. So when you start adding them up, life is just a whole bunch of hobbies, and people always need more. So that's what the hobby letter is, you know, positioned to hopefully add to people's lives. What the hell else are we doing?
Real quick on the hobbies, I was going to ask you, but where are you focused on right now? Like I saw there was five hobbies, you know, one to make money, keep you in shape, stay creative, knowledge, and grow your mindset. Like what is your, like, do you spread them out, or is there one you're like really focused on at the moment?
No, I'm totally spread out across a bunch of hobbies, but you know, and I have like different names for each of them in my head. Like no days offsies is something that I say pretty much every day on social. And that's just, you know, do some form of physical exercise every day. I encourage everybody to do it, whether that's run, weights, basketball, whatever, you know, whatever it is for you, just doing it every day. So that's definitely one. And then the rest is just sort of a mixture of a bunch of things that I think fall into a few of those categories. A lot of those things are the stuff that I talked about. You know, I really enjoy all of it. And especially growing these businesses. And then the other arm that I didn't mention was the investing side. So I invest in a handful of startups every year, and then, you know, some strategically help and allow them access to, you know, our network of media profiles. But I definitely have a focus on companies and products that I think will do extremely well when shared on social. That's been the number one, you know, KPI that I look for, you know, in any company.
And so let's stay on that. And, you know, I know pop-up bagels, Zerp platter, U-ball, like tell us about, like, get a little bit more. So you were saying you invest in them because, you know, those are the ones you can really get behind on social and all that. Is there one you're really excited about right now, or something you kind of want to share with this audience specifically, who's this community that's mostly athletes, and something that maybe that, you know, would be interesting to them?
Yeah. I mean, all of those companies are doing really, really interesting stuff. Pop-up bagels has just tapped into a viral bagel loving crowd.
So cool.
The product was incredible when I tried it the first time. They were actually started in my hometown in Connecticut, and that's why I was first connected with them. And the product is amazing, and the experience was really good. You get like new cream cheese drops every Sunday, so like my girlfriend is like keeping a close look on like what those are. And then U-ball was very obvious to me because I saw the videos getting millions of views, because people for the first time could play basketball on the beach, could play basketball in the water, could play basketball on grass, could play basketball at the top of a mountain. And the only result from those things happening is incredible scenery for basketball. You know, being operating in the spaces we do, it was pretty obvious that, you know, those videos were going to do well, and I think they have. And then some of the other companies are, you know, heavy product focused, but also, you know, the people behind them are, you know, very social savvy, so there's some trust in those as well. So yeah, that's what I would say there.
Awesome. We'll include links to all of this that you've talked about and have going on, so people can check it out. So, I mean, take me back to high school. You know, your rest of your friends are just doing normal high school activities. Like, I guess, what was your motivation to really lean kind of more into the business world and focus on, you know, what you're building, continue to build now?
Well, I was a terrible student, you know, dyslexic and ADD and all of that good stuff. So, you know, I'm basically incapable of doing things that are boring to me.
But
really, really good at doing anything that's interesting. So leaning into those interests from an early age, and the rest was, you know, for the most part, a byproduct of that. You know, and that's what opened doors and opportunities at a young age. And I'm very lucky and grateful that social was in a place to where, you know, a 14-year-old could do that, because 40 years ago, I mean, I would have had to try to replicate something like this, like launching a newspaper or a magazine or something like that. Yeah. Maybe that would have gone well. I don't know. But definitely would have been more difficult.
Yeah, that's for sure. And so did you have to convince your family or your parents that this is what, you want to focus on this, or were they game?
Well, when it came time to look at colleges, the decision was very clear because I met with a college advisor and she said that I was the first person she ever advised not to go to college. So that sealed the deal for everybody.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you were talking about the collectibles, and I know I've seen you talk a little bit about AI and all that. So what's your thoughts right now from your perspective on the Web3 space, and are you a crypto believer?
A lot of it needs a rebrand. I'm a believer in the tech, and I'm a believer in a lot of the people in it. But it absolutely needs a total overhaul rebrand. It should not be Web3. It should just be integrated into everything else you use, because a lot of it already is. I mean, what are any digital payment processors or any of this stuff? What are tickets? Digital tickets. What are all this stuff? It's all the same technology. It's just that crypto has gotten a bad name from a lot of people, rightfully so. And the same is true for NFTs and digital collectibles and Web3 as a whole. And there haven't really been any huge successful companies to come out of Web3, which is never a good sign about a space. You'd think that there'd be like a couple of unicorns to come out of an entire industry in 5 years, but yeah, the technology is for sure going to be a part of things, and I don't think crypto's going anywhere, but like I said, it just needs to be integrated without throwing these, aggressive terms like NFTs around, because people don't like it.
All right, I'll follow you for the Web3 rebrand. Let me know. I like that.
I'm not doing the rebrand, but other people should.
All right. I always say this to everybody we talk to, but we're community here at Playing Field. So I know you again have a lot going on, but is there anything here as a community specifically we can support for you?
Yeah, I think I appreciate that. I think the two big things are, if you want more hobbies, www.thehobbyletter.com, and you'll get those hobbies. And then the other thing is, I think for anybody that has interesting companies, we'd love to see. And then or if they have interesting companies that need help with social and distribution, those are the things that we specialize in. So I'd be happy to have that conversation.
Awesome. Well, again, we're going to link that all so people can check it out. But I guess last question, with all you got going on, all these different people you've met over the years, have you had that moment where you're like, wow, I've really made it?
It's interesting because I'm 23 and COVID happened. Like right before COVID, I was hanging out with all these, I enjoyed like being in those environments, and then COVID happens. I'm just like traveling the country, spending a month in a different city, and I don't, unless I need to be somewhere, honestly, I'd rather just be like working out, minding my own business, hanging out with friends, family, working. So that was definitely a shift. But on the made it point, definitely being able to have fun and diversify, some of the things that we're working on. And I think the point that I realized I made it, though, now that I think about it, was when I was able to delegate basically everything. Everything that wasn't, key essential to what I do. I now have team members that are better than I was when I was really focused on it. So that's what I would say.
It's a lesson everybody, I feel like, struggles with, and to the delegation part. But I'm
And
glad you
it's not
found it as
easy. And a lot of people, including myself at one point, tried to rush into it, like rush into delegation, like, oh, I'm just going to hire this person and they're going to do all of it. The reality is, you work side by side, incentivizing them for a year, 2 years, you build that trust and relationship. And if you're able to accordingly incentivize them and get, you know, people bought in on the long-term vision of, you know, all the different stuff you're doing and give them the opportunity they want and the room for growth that they want, then, you know, it might just work out. But at first I, you know, similarly just thought, here you go. Here's the keys. It doesn't quite work like that.
A lot of great lessons, and really grateful for the time today. And I'm excited to follow along. Long and exciting road ahead for you, and keep us updated. So thanks, man.
Thank you.